My guest is Rick Joyner, and he's part of Morningstar. When I think of Morningstar, I think of a number of things, Rick. I think of prophets, people that predict the future. I think about young people, but I also think about music. Where in the world did you get what is known as the Morningstar music from? How was it birthed?
Well, I gave permission to some musicians to kind of go wild. I guess I should better say go free.
Were they good musicians?
They're some of the world's best. But they felt like in church, they could not use their gift. They were restrained. They had to be so held back and all. And I said, well, if you play before the Lord, we want your best licks. We want you to play better than anything you've ever done in the world. And so I kind of set them free to just...
Why is it that we humans are so stuck in tradition?
Well, I believe, you know, a lot of what we call religion is a religious spirit, you know, that is not necessarily true worship. You know, I think there's nothing more exciting than God, but nothing more boring than religion. And true, you know, what we're called to is relationship, not just religious rituals. And there is a religious spirit that I don't believe is the Holy Spirit that puts a great yoke of restraint.
But this music is so different. It's sort of like it's a culture shock for some people, but the young people like it.
They absolutely love it. I mean, that's why we draw so many young people.
You were telling me you're on a religious television station in England, and they've estimated that something like 50% of the audience that listens to this music are non-believers in Jesus.
Well, that was what they estimated, and it's true. When we do conferences where they first started that channel in Europe and all, we did conferences there. We were drawing sometimes 50% unbelievers to the conferences. We would have many, you know, of course, become believers quickly, but they were drawn because of the music, I believe.
Rick, you said there is a warning on this latest CD of yours. What's the warning?
Well, we tell people not to listen to it while they're driving a car because so many get speeding tickets. It's intense.
Well, wait a second.
Pedal to the metal.
Now, you know, they do have TV in cars right now, so pull over to the side of the road if that's you. I want to tell me about this artist that's featured on here, Leonard Jones.
Well, Leonard Jones is really... I believe one of the best guitarists in the world, and some of the best guitarists in the world, those who are considered that, believe Leonard is. He is truly remarkable, but he plays every instrument. He could sit first string violin in most symphonies. He's truly a, you know, I believe a musical genius, and he plays with some of the best, and I believe he's writing some of the best stuff.
Okay, too. Speaking of the best stuff, wait till you hear, this comes from Ecclesiastes, there is a time.
Every season of life, everything that's under the sun. Time to give away, time to sow a seed, time to reap a harvest. Time to give a praise, time to stand in awe, time to bow in worship. Okay.
Listen, that is good. That is good. Now, I'm not in that younger generation, even though in my heart I am. Well, I'm not in that, but I like it. How about you, Rick? Do you like
it?
Yeah,
or
you
just? No, I love it. It's great.
Literally, you said, no holds barred. Whatever God shows you, do it.
Yes, do it with all your might. Play your best licks, and be free. And I believe, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I also believe, we're serving the Creator, who's so creative, He made every snowflake different, loves diversity, loves creativity. And I believe creativity is one of the places where we can most touch the heart of God, and there's got to be freedom for that creativity.
I love it. It's a Hebrew word, chofesh, and it's freedom. And everything that we should do is, when people think of religion, they think of bars. They think, not bars where you drink, bars of prison. But it shouldn't be that. It should be, in fact, you wrote a trilogy that they're about ready to make a motion picture. What is the name of that?
The Final Quest.
How many of those sold?
I have no idea. They estimated 2 million. Or more, but it's translated in so many languages, we haven't really kept up with it.
Now you understand prophecy yourself. You've been caught up into the heavens. You wrote this best series, selling series was literally from a visitation that you had. And you understand prophecy. I want to find out what God is showing you as to where we really are in history. Whether we're really in, as the Orthodox rabbis say, the footsteps of Messiah. Be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Sid Roth here with Rick Joyner. I know you're on the edge of your seat because he's not only a prophet, he's got a whole school of prophets. It sounds kind of like in the Jewish scriptures, Elijah and Elijah, and they had these schools of the prophets. What is God showing you as far as where we are in history?
Well, in both Joel 2 and Acts 2, it speaks about in the last days, the Lord is going to pour out His Spirit. He says, when He does, the old men are going to dream dreams, young men see visions, and his sons and daughters are going to prophesy. And we're seeing a tremendous, I believe, maybe unprecedented in history, outbreak of dreams, visions, and prophecy.
Now, as you and I know, you turn on TV and you can't help but see a psychic or call a certain phone number and it's a psychic network. And it's you were telling me last night, how much money is spent on psychics in this country?
Well, the last study I saw a few years ago was between 10 and 12 billion a year, just in our country.
10 or 12
billion.
I thought you said that.
Billion.
Did you get that?
A year.
Billion a year.
Yeah. Spent on psychics, but this was the most shocking part of all. They said over half of that was being spent by Christians who had been taught that God no longer speaks today. And they were turned into psychics.
If you won't believe the truth, the Bible says, you'll believe a lie. And a lot of people look at the truth and they say it's a lie. But you have to recognize, you cannot have a good counterfeit unless it's a counterfeit of something authentic. I want the authentic. So the world is beginning to understand prophecy. And you told me you'd send some of your students out to secular business conferences to prophesy?
Well, they asked us to come. There was a seminar in Florida just a couple of weeks ago from, it was a business seminar, and they asked us, could we send some of our prophetic teams down? And we said, sure. So we mobilized 30 of our kids to go down there, and they set up teams, and anyone who wanted to go in and be ministered to by these teams could go, and it had a spectacular impact.
Do you know if many of these secular business people became believers in the Messiah?
They did. They said we estimated about 150 became brand new believers.
We have in America the fastest growing trend, and there's some very godly people involved in this, is called seeker sensitive. But what happened if we look at the Bible and we become whatever they did there, we should do, guess what kind of results we'll get? I mean, can you imagine going into a secular business conference and prophesying to people? I understand even the White House under the Reagan years used psychics to find out what was going on. Now, Nancy Reagan used to, you know, have at least it was in the newspapers.
Yeah.
But I think that people are getting wise and they say, I don't want that cheap counterfeit that is only right 20% of the time, and I doubt if it's even right that much. I want the kind the Bible says that can't fail.
Well, that's true. And there, I believe both our government and many other governments, by the way, many governments have sought out the prophetic, true godly prophets. And I believe whenever you seek the Lord, you will find him, and he's helped many people. And you know, there's a lot, you know, we couldn't say about that because we'd lose our ability to speak into certain situations. But I believe there are many, many people that are starting to understand there is a counterfeit and there is a real. You know, if they don't declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he is the Messiah, he is the Lord of Lords, don't go to them. They can be supernatural. They can have some supernatural information. But there's good and bad. There's good and evil. You know,
so what you believe is, the prophet Joel says, you'll know when it's the last days. Acts, it says the same thing. So because these gifts are coming to the surface and everything else going on in the world, would you agree with the Orthodox rabbis? We're in the footsteps of the Messiah?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I would like to emphasize, though, it's not so much the end as it is the beginning. It's maybe the end of this age, and I think like we normally say to every year when it passes on New Year's, say good riddance to that year, we're going to say good riddance to this age. I mean, it's been terrible. The King of Kings has come back to rule and reign over the earth. He's going to restore the earth. The scriptures are clear. We have a greater hope than any New Age movement, any utopian philosophy, anything. We've been given the greatest hope of all. He's going to come back and restore the earth. The lion's going to lie down with the lamb again. Children will be able to play with cobras. It's not going to be any more mourning, sickness, dying, pain, child abuse, hunger, any of these things. He is going to restore the earth.
What are doctors going to do when there's no longer the combat?
They're going to have to get a real job.
No. What are they going to do? Because they're not going to be able to say, well, the cause of your disease is stress. There's not any stress there. Is it? The Bible talks about people being translated, being in one city and then finding themselves in another city just instantly. Has that happened to you?
That's happened to me.
Tell me about it.
Well, I was leaving Charlotte, North Carolina for Winston-Salem to go to a little home group. Now, this was years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was late leaving. It was about a 2-hour trip, and I was late. I was going to be late anyway, maybe 20, 30 minutes late. Then there was an accident on the interstate. I sat behind that for over an hour. And I figured once I got past the accident, I'm going to be 2 hours late. I'll get there right at the end of the meeting. And I said, well, I'm going anyway. I said I was coming. I'm going to go. Now, I had to take Interstate 77 North, intersect Interstate 40, and go east for a while. So anyway, as soon as I get past this accident, it's like all of a sudden I look up and I didn't recognize this truck. I didn't recognize the other vehicles around me. And I thought I'd maybe fallen asleep or something. You know, you might drift off.
Sure.
And it shocked me. And then I looked up and I'm at the exit on the other interstate. Interstate 40. And I thought then.
How long should it take for that to occur?
At least an hour and 15 to 20 minutes, maybe an hour and.
You're telling me that you transcended time.
Absolutely. I was there instantly.
Speaking of transcending time, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to find out how God knows ahead of time where we're going to live, and he has the exact place that we're to live in. Don't go away.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, it's Sid Roth here with Rick Joyner. Did you know that God has every hair on your head numbered? That not two sparrows fall to the ground without him being aware of it? And of how much more value are you? You have value and you have worth, of how much more value are you than the sparrow? My guest, Rick Joyner, he's just a man. I'm just a man. But we know God. We have intimacy with God. And there's a prophet by the name of Bob Jones that wandered into your life, and he described property that you were going to own. Explain that.
Well, he had a dream. And when I moved to North Carolina, I came with a word out. It was to go to the mountains, North Carolina. And I met Bob Jones through a friend of ours, Mike Bickle, and old man, and he immediately started telling me details about my life and things that had happened, my history that I didn't even know. I had to check out later that found out to be true, but things about my ancestors and stuff. Huh. But anyway, he later called me back, said he had a dream about me moving to the mountains of North Carolina, and described the place in detail, exactly how far it was from where I was living at the time, which he got within 0.2 mile. We told him he's got to do better than that.
Well, hey, according to the Bible, you have to be 100%, but yeah. I'll take within 0.2 mile in the whole
over 100
in the whole world.
Yeah, that's right. But he described it in detail. We later, Tom Hess, who was a friend of yours, was involved in this and was given some land nearby that he called me and thought he was supposed to give to us.
And it's a small world. I was on his board and I was involved in that decision. But
yeah, is that right? Okay. So, you know, Tom calls me from Jerusalem and tells me about this land, and he described it and had some of the deed had some of the details that Bob had told me in his dream. And it was measured like they do in the mountains sometimes, from white rocks to an old oak tree. And Bob had, in his dream, had seen the land was measured from white rocks to an oak tree and details like that. He said there were buildings in the middle with red roofs and a mountain with a rock face on it and antennas on it and all this. And of course, that could have been a lot of places in North Carolina. But when we found it, it had every detail that Bob told us about in his dream, including where the streams were on the land and things that...
But Rick, that is natural. I mean, there was a king of Syria that was upset with Israel because it's this king said, they know what I'm discussing in my bedroom. It was a prophet. And today, according to the New Covenant, we're all supposed to be able to prophesy. Now, I am so excited about this new property that you have. Was that prophesied also?
It was. And, you know, we prophesy in part, and we know in part. And Bob had all these details about the land, the property we were going to, the rectangular building. He saw a lot of other little details that worked out later, but he saw some damage to it, water leaks and damage and all. We went looking all over Charlotte for old buildings and everything, almost bought some that we thought fit the description.
Been there, done that, I understand.
Yeah, and then we finally, you know, happened upon the property. It was exactly as Bob had described, and now we're in it.
And this is the old PTL headquarters that Jim Baker had a vision to develop. And Rick, I don't have to be a prophet to know that mantle has fallen upon you, and that's going to be even greater than Jim thought it was going to be. You've got that beautiful grand hotel, and it is now grand. Well, I mean, how did you end up getting that property, which Bob Jones saw in a vision, which you couldn't even find when you went in your peanut brain trying to find it?
Well, it's interesting that you know, Jim Baker, when he got out of prison, he kind of spiritually bequeathed that property to us in a conference publicly. And we were saying, we don't want it. We don't want to run a hotel. We're in missions. We don't want
to. He didn't own it. He couldn't give it to you.
Yeah, but he spiritually said, we think you're supposed to have it. So anyway, there were some reasons, some things I had to be a part of in some business things and all, where if I'd known that property was coming to me, I could not have been a part of those. It would have been a conflict. We had no idea. Mm-hmm. So I think in a way the Lord hid it from us where it was. And then at the right time, it came into our hands for, you know, we bought $60 million. Well, Jim paid $60 million to build it.
Right.
In
so
the 1980s.
So it had to be worth more even now with the value of real estate.
Yeah, I would think so. We bought it for $1.6 million.
How come so cheap?
Well, Actually, they didn't think the buildings could be restored.
Did you have a good Jewish attorney by the name of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit?
I've had Jews tell me I've made the Jew jealous.
Well, that's what you're supposed to. You're just being normal. Yeah. Speaking of normal, very quickly, tell me about the glory cloud that came in at a meeting you were at where you were speaking, and everyone saw it.
Well, this is back when we were first starting, had our first worship and warfare conference, or what we called the Heart of David, and we had spent about 8 hours worshiping the Lord that day, you know, taking some breaks in between, but it was, you know, it was at an intensity that we used to hope we could get to and maintain for 15 minutes. It was the most intense worship we'd ever experienced, and it had gone on and on. The last session was out, had gone into hours, and it kept building. It was the greatest worship I've still ever been a part of. And at the end, Leonard Jones was playing the last song. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it was like, it felt like a nuclear fire in the building. I felt burning inside. You know how nuclear is supposed to burn from the inside? I felt like my insides were on fire. And I watched two girls who were on the stage start grabbing and like they were on fire. And then, you know, I'm feeling heat, fire, and I watch one of these girls run and dive through the drum set. Scared, terrified. And I turn around and look, and there's this cloud, pillar of cloud right in the middle of the stage. And my first thought is, we've got a fire. Because heat, fire, you know, all this. And the whole audience that had been worshiping at the top of their voice went instantly silent, started wailing, crying, and I'm looking all over at what's... Everything's going on, and I think we've got a fire. And then I just said, the presence of the Lord is so intense, let the place burn. That was my thing.
And then,
everybody who was in there saw it, except for a few.
Everyone outside of a few saw this glory cloud. Yeah. We're coming into the days like you read about in the scriptures where the glory is going to show up and everyone's going to be healed. I feel such a presence of God on my face right here that I happen to believe God's presence is invading wherever you are right now. And in His presence, all things are possible. What do you need right now? The first thing you need to do is get right with God, repent your sins, and believe Jesus is your Messiah and Lord. Get ready. Get ready.